From WXXI News, this is Connections. I'm Evan Dawson. Our connection for this hour was made on July 27th when Jamie Romeo wrote a letter to her fellow Monroe County Democrats. The Democrats needed a new party chair after the resignation of Dave Gerritsen. And at 30 years old, after more than a decade in politics and government, Romeo decided that now is the time to step up and lead. She's got a master's degree in public administration. She's worked in politics at the county level in various capacities. She worked for former state senator Ted O'Brien. And Romeo saw a party that needed a spark heading into the fall elections. So she spoke up at a time when few others were doing so. 2 days later, Romeo had been selected as the new chair of County Democrats. And she told a crowd of Democrats, quote, "The road ahead may be difficult, but we're Democrats. We don't shy away from tough fights. We organize, we unite, and we win." But do they? On the county level, Democrats have tended to lose recently. They don't win majorities in the legislature. They haven't won the county executive race. Last time around, they did win the DA's race, only to have the district attorney, Sandra Dorley, switch parties to run for re-election as a Republican. And now the Democrats don't even have a candidate for that seat. So what can Jamie Romeo do in the few short months she has to change their recent history? She's my guest for the hour. Welcome to Connections. I've seen you working with candidates in various capacities, and now here you are with the microphone in front of you.
Yes, thank you for having me. Yes, I would say this has definitely been a new experience and a somewhat more liberating experience now being able to be the one on the camera. So,
you would not have expected this, you said 2 years ago, probably even 6 months ago, you weren't thinking that this was coming.
Not necessarily, but that doesn't necessarily mean that when you see opportunities or reasons to step up that you don't take them.
Absolutely. Well, you told your fellow Democrats, we unite and we win. But objectively, at the county level, it's been a lot of losing for Democrats over the recent years, hasn't there been?
There has been a fair amount. You know, we've had some wins and we've had some losses. You know, we've had some years where in the county legislature races, we've been able to get up to 14. And then we've had years where we've lost a couple seats. So, you know, we have had our wins and losses, but I have seen what's been going on the ground for this year, for 2015, and we have a lot of great, exciting races, a lot of really strong candidates, which is one of the reasons why I was very excited to step into this role.
And here you are now, just a few months away from the election. You've got to focus so much energy. You don't have a lot of money compared to the Republicans. And I'm curious to know what is realistic in your mind. You look at November. What can you accomplish? You know, have you even set benchmarks for yourself as the new party chair?
Well, obviously, the benchmark is to win and to win on Election Day. And I think that, you know, we have a very strong county executive candidate in Sandy Franco. We have a number of really strong, exciting candidates for county legislature. We have Simeon Bannister in Henrietta, Versa Roman in 26, Jim Shepard in 23. We actually have 19 Democrats appearing on the ballot this year for county legislature out of the all 29 seats. On top of that, we have four full town slates. I was out in Sweden this past Sunday with our full slate that's running out there. We have a team in Gates and Henrietta and Irondequoit. We've got a lot of excitement going on, and I think there may not necessarily be enough awareness about that, which is one of the top things I wanted to make sure that I did coming in, was make sure that we get the word out there that we have a lot of activity going on and a lot of really strong candidates.
Remind our listeners how many seats the Democrats currently hold in the county legislature.
I'm going to say 11.
11,
yes.
Out of the 29.
Yes.
And so, you'd have to take back four to be a majority, which would be a remarkable thing. Is that even possible?
It's absolutely possible. You know, we do have that full 19 candidates. We have a number in very competitive races. We have Mike Bovee up in 16. I think I've already spoke about Aversa in 26 against legislator Michikay. Maggie Ridge out in what will be the former president of the legislature seat in 12. We have a lot of excitement going on with these races, and I see a lot of potential there.
Okay. When it comes to county executive, you mentioned Sandy Frankel.
Mm-hmm.
She ran before. She got beaten soundly. You said she's a very strong candidate. She was not the last time. Why is she a good option for the Democrats this time?
Well, I think that Sandy is definitely the most experienced executive in this race right now. 4 years ago, she was running against, you know, an entrenched incumbent with Maggie Brooks, obviously, as her opponent. And she had a very good showing on Election Day. And this year, she had some very strong fundraising on her July periodic report. She's had a lot of excitement. She's got two field offices open now in the city of Rochester, and she most recently got the endorsements of Congresswoman Louise Slaughter and Assemblymember Harry Bronson. There's been a lot of momentum behind her, and I continue to hear a lot, just the more I talk to people, is that people are ready for a change in this community. We do have an open seat for county executive. And we have not heard from Cheryl Danoffa. We have not heard from her opponent. I know just this morning in the paper, we saw my counterpart now, Bill Rylick, making some comments on an event that Sandy Frankel had yesterday regarding proposals from the county legislature between the Democrats and the Republicans. And outside of her initial remarks in, I think it was January or February of this year, we have not heard what Cheryl's vision is for why she thinks she should be county executive, whereas we have heard from Sandy Frankel.
I will say Cheryl has been a guest on this program, as has had Sandy Frankel and the Green Party candidate, Rajesh Barnabas has been on this program. So all three have been on the program. Mm-hmm. I think what Jamie is saying is publicly at various events, things like that. We've seen more of Sandy, less of Cheryl. We'll see if that changes as we move toward Election Day. Bill Rylick, the county party chair for the Republicans, open invite for him to join me on this program. He's not the new party chair like Jamie is for the Democrats, but I'd love to have Bill, and we'll have a conversation here as well here. But, you know, I'm looking at the results, first of all, from 4 years ago. You said Sandy had a good showing against Maggie Brooks. How did you define a good showing in a loss like that?
Well, obviously, she had a lot of obstacles stacked up against her, but I think she ran a strong campaign then on a lot of tough issues. And, you know, at that time, we had a lot of issues of corruption at the time that the campaigns were running on, including county legislature races as well. I only know because at that time I was on the staff end of that. 4 years ago was when we were first getting comptroller reports from Dinopoli's office regarding this LDC called Upstate Telecommunications and Navitech and things that people weren't really aware of. But now we've had 4 years on a lot of these same issues where I think we've hit the saturation point where people are saying just enough is enough. And there is a better understanding that I might not be able to understand the intricacies of these LDCs or these other county issues, but we know that something's not working right. And we know that this community deserves better.
Okay. Now, Jamie being the new party chair, though she's a very wise political person. I've known her in politics. You don't really think Harry Bronson and Louise Slaughter endorsing Sandy is that big a story? They're Democrats. Of course they're endorsing Sandy.
Well, of course it is. But it's also those are important things to do publicly because it's not just about the inner circles, about talking about, you know, people like you and I that, you know, have these kind of insider conversations, but talking to voters and letting voters know that, you know, there are important elections this year. We need them to come out and vote. And the community is coming behind these people.
Now, you worked with Senator Ted O'Brien. You worked on that race.
Mm-hmm.
And a very hard-fought and tough loss for him to Republican Rich Funke, who currently holds that seat. Mm-hmm. What did you learn from losing in that race?
You know, a lot of times, you know, you can run a very good race and you can have a very passionate team, but sometimes there's always, you know, in campaigns, sometimes there are obstacles outside of your control. Last year was a bad year for Democrats across the whole state. And nationally, there was a lot of politics and a lot of tone coming out of Washington that we weren't necessarily ready for. But, you know, I think that one of the most valuable things that I learned from that race was just the value of still talking directly to voters and making sure that you're knocking on doors and making those phone calls and having that really bottom-up grassroots level of support. I do recall, you know, obviously being Ted's chief of staff at the time, that when we were not successful, he did have a lot of people reach out to us to just let them know that they really valued him as a community asset. And there are a lot of ways to continue serving the community even if you do lose an election. He's going on now to be in the Attorney General's office here locally. I do feel that in some ways, I know others might disagree, that in the new role that I am now, it is somewhat of a form of public service because our politics are so married to our government here.
Now, what would you do differently if you could run that race again?
Well, that's a tough question. And I always had a feeling you were going to ask me that question. I'm not necessarily sure. I think that we would have definitely been maybe a little bit more aggressive earlier on. I think that, you know, Ted worked very hard. He had a very strong record. But obviously, we had a lot of obstacles against us. I mean, Mr. Funke is a very popular figure here locally.
So was that an unwinnable race?
I don't think it was an unwinnable race. I think it was just very challenging. And unfortunately, we did not come out quite ahead. We did have not, for it being an even year, there was somewhat, I want to say it was around 45% was turnout. It was not necessarily as high as we thought it would be. Getting voters to turn out, you know, when turnout is high in this county, we see Democrats win, which is always why it's key to making sure we need voters to come out and vote.
Talking to Jamie Romeo, the Democratic Party chair here, newly elevated to that position after the resignation of Dave Gerritsen about a month ago, and she has a lot of work to do between now and the November elections. But it's interesting because I've talked to some Democrats, and they say, look, if we've got a bad November, don't blame Jamie. She's new to it. You're not sort of saying, hey, I'm taking a pass on this year. Whatever happens is not on me.
No, absolutely not. I mean, when you step up, you step up. You don't get to point fingers in other directions or anyway. When I stepped up, that means I am stepping up right now for this election. But one of the reasons that I made the decision to do that was because I am actually very excited. I think we have a lot of really strong candidates, a lot of strong messaging, and a lot of opportunities. And the challenge is obviously with a lower budget, is getting that word out there and making sure you're talking to voters and talking to the community about all of the ways that they can get involved to make this community better. And getting civically and politically active is exactly the way to do that, which is why I always appreciate opportunities such as this to be able to talk to more people to get that message out there.
If you want to call the program and join the conversation with the Democratic Party chair, it's 844-295-TALK, toll free, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. A lot of what you said is about looking ahead, working hard, building on what you have. I wonder if you've had any conversations, because now you're in charge of so much of this, in the structure of the party now. I wonder if you've asked, how in the world did we have the DA lose the DA to the other party and then not get anybody to run against the DA? You've got a placeholder for district attorney, and you're not going to run anybody. I guess you said it's too late to do that now, right?
Well, there is a time where you can, through the election law, have a placeholder step down and appoint somebody else, and that time has passed. And the truth is, immediately going into 2015, we had a district attorney candidate. That candidate at that time was Sandra Dorley. And this switch came very unexpectedly. There was not many conversations on, at least with our side of the aisle, when that switch happened, which unfortunately put us in a position where we were not looking at the time for a district attorney candidate. Democrats in the party and also in this community had invested a lot in her with that race 4 years ago. And we weren't in a position of having people in the backfield because we were confident in working with her again. And it was very unfortunate when that happened, and especially given the timeline in which that happened in. And that the shortened timeline on that made it very difficult to find somebody else.
Did you feel betrayed?
I think so, only because it was a lot of people had made a lot of investment in that race, not just with, you know, financially, but with, you know, boots on the grounds, knocking on doors, making phone calls on her behalf. She was victorious, and she was victorious on one line, which was the Democratic line, row A. And the switch, I think, was very unexpected. And, you know, I can't necessarily speak to the reasons why, but it was certainly not something we were expecting.
Now, again, Jamie was not the party chair at the time. Dave Gerritsen was. So when it comes to who's accountable for that, you're putting it on Sandra. You're not saying that Dave Gerritsen had a chance to keep her in the party, and then who's accountable for not getting a replacement. Again, you're putting a lot of that right on Sandra Dorley's shoulders.
Well, I can't speak to any, you know, direct conversations between obviously two other parties. I can only speak to my own knowledge. And from my perspective is that, you know, that was the decision she had made, and there was little to no room for conversation once that was already made.
Okay. We'll get to your phone calls in just a second. The other portion of what Jamie told Democrats after she was elevated to the position of party chair just less than a month ago was that we're Democrats, we unite. And you better. Everybody I talk to behind the scenes tells me this is as fractured as they see in the local party. And I want to quote from the Democrat and Chronicle. Here's Dave Andreotta writing right at the time, quote, when Romeo was elected on Wednesday, this was about a month ago, the party's most senior office holder, Assemblyman David Gant, and a coalition of party faithful loyal to Gant didn't bother to show up at the convention to cast a ballot. Why didn't David Gant show up?
I'm not sure. I did have an opportunity to speak with him actually prior to announcing. I also had the opportunity to speak with our Mayor Lovely Warren, with us Majority Leader Joe Morelli, with Harry Bronson. I was able to speak with most of those people. I can't speak as to why Mr. Gant was not able to come that particular night. There were a lot of actually elected officials missing that night. There was a Ways and Means meeting for the county legislature. They were going through an MCC budget. So I do know that given given the need that we needed to fill that chair within that 20-day time window, there could have been other reasons why, but I don't think there was any larger reason other than perhaps scheduling. But okay. I can't speak for others.
Have you spoken to David Gant since you became party chair?
Not since.
You haven't talked to him?
Not since, no.
Are you going to?
Yes.
Okay. Because it's not just David Gant. He obviously has a long track record in this community, and a lot of people who know him well and support him, mm-hmm. and the what we hear behind the scenes, and maybe you can dispel this or confirm this, is that that fracturing starts there, that there is a division with David Gantt, the people who support him, the people he's aligned with, and among others. Do you see it that way?
I mean, I think there are some separations in the party, and but I think the important thing to realize is that I guess I would differ with people that say that we're more fractured now than we've been. I think, unfortunately, there's been a lot of kind of an underground rumor mill that's kind of been the dominating tone that's coming out of what our local politics is right now, which is about this divisiveness. But I have, since getting into this office, I have been reached out to by a number of our committee members, a number of candidates, past elected officials, past chairs, who are reaching out because they want to get involved and they see some opportunities. And at the end of the day, whether you align yourself with particular individuals or if you have a certain school of thought, we all think that this county can do better, and that's really where we will be able to unify again, because we all believe that this county deserves better. We believe that, you know, not only the city of Rochester but communities all across the county are facing a lot of big issues, and we need a governing partner to face those issues head on, and we need a Democratic governing majority in the county to be able to do that.
I take your point that there's always a rumor mill, there's always buzzing that things are divided, mm-hmm. et cetera. But we're looking for evidence that those rumors are incorrect. And I'm not seeing a lot of evidence. I don't see the mayor of the city of Rochester endorsing Sandy Frankel yet, unless I missed it. Has Mayor Warren endorsed Sandy Frankel?
She has not as of yet. I do know what she has said is that she is waiting until later on in the cycle to go through the endorsements. I know she has been speaking with Ms. Frankel. And I do know that she's said to me, and I think she said to some other press outlets, that, you know, she's been taking on her leadership and running the city as her number one priority. And I think, you know, obviously, given the tragic events we've had locally, that no one would necessarily take her for granted for not having politics at the front of her mind. But we have, you know, those are all ongoing conversations. Those are all things that we continue to work on.
All right. So to be fair, you're right about that, but it would also take about 5 minutes to put in a phone call, say, draft a statement, I'm going to endorse Sandy, get that done. Because I'm wondering now, when you look at the mayor not yet endorsing Sandy Frankel, and suggested to me 5-6 months ago she would think about Cheryl Denolfo, she didn't know, she would want to learn more. There are some Democrats who are offended by that, and do you view that as sort of a breach in Democratic etiquette that Mayor Warren has not endorsed Sandy Frankel?
Well, she hasn't made any endorsements, and she obviously has not endorsed our candidate, but I do know that they have had ongoing conversations. So I know I've definitely been encouraging those conversations and trying to facilitate any ways that I can. And I'm looking forward to continuing that. So that, I guess that's really where I would leave that.
Do you think Mayor Warren wants Democrats to win in November?
I think so. I think so, absolutely.
Okay. And will you meet with her and talk to her about that?
Yeah, and she's absolutely, you know, I was able to speak with her prior to actually, I think it was around the time the photonics announcement originally came out. But these are all conversations that we're going to continue to start having, not just myself as the party chair, but as a party as a whole.
The reason I've been pressing these points is because we see the recent history. Democrats lose more than they win in local politics. Why do you think Republicans have been so successful? Because you're somebody who is not only smart about issues, you've studied issues, but you understand the optics, you understand what it takes and what can turn a race. You've been involved in campaigns, and the Republicans have had a lot of success. So just as an analyst, take yourself out of being a Democrat and be an analyst. Why have they been so successful?
Well, obviously, having a fundraising advantage is always helpful because it allows you to get your messaging out to voters more directly, which, you know, Democrats, we always are usually pretty competitive with, but it's always a struggle. But that doesn't mean that necessarily means we can't get that message out there. I also think that in the past, Democrats, we've always been trying to not just talk to voters, but educate voters, especially when it comes to the county levels. There's, since my time originally getting to the county in 2005, there's been a lot of issues, whether it was the water authority issues back in 2006 all the way on through. And we've often tried to take the time to explain these issues to voters and empower them to try to get a better understanding of what their county government is. And it's those are all very difficult messages to distill. But that's one of the reasons why, as I kind of earlier alluded to, 4 years ago, we were having these comptroller audits coming out saying we think that these LDC deals are bad deals and we think the county's losing money and we think that they weren't necessarily done above board. And most people don't read comptroller reports regarding local development corporations. Now, 4 years later, we've seen indictments. We've seen this ongoing trial. I believe February is when they have their hearing date set. I think that people have gotten to that saturation point where there are so many things that they're hearing about county government not doing correctly, and that they're ready to see an end to it, or they're ready to see something different.
So you're getting really good at this, even though you haven't been the party chair for that long, because I asked you why Republicans do so well, and you pivoted that so effectively. But can you argue that?
Well, I guess to answer that, it's much easier to not address those issues and to just say, well, Democrats are going to raise your taxes. Well, yes, tax bills have increased. Your county taxes have gone up. But Democrats have not been the ones who have put forth county budgets and passed these increases. That's actually come from a Republican administration. So sometimes, you know, the messaging war is always the hardest thing. And how do you distill that messaging so you can still empower and educate voters, but to not where you're putting so much information in front of them that it's difficult?
If you want a quick fact check, listeners, to what Jamie just said, she's talking about tax bills on the county level going up. You will often hear Republicans, the Brooks administration, the DeNulfo campaign say that they're going to keep the tax rate the same. The rate has been the same, $8.99 per thousand. They have added new fees that did not exist before. So as a county taxpayer, if you live in Monroe County, you are paying more than you did 12 years ago. It's just called something else. So that's what Jamie is talking about. But we are paying more as taxpayers. That is a fact. Now, can you argue that Republicans are not more unified than Democrats? I mean, that is, again, you talk about narratives. You talk about what the perception is. The perception is top-down. Republicans have a game plan. They are organized. They know how to carry it out. They don't have a lot of division, and they go out and they win. Can you argue that is not correct?
You know, well, that is correct, but I would point to that, you know, there's a difference between being organized and then just having such a strong top-down culture that you don't allow any other opinions or anything. And the person I would point to for that is we had a county legislator this year out in Legislative District 18, which I believe is Parrington.
you know it by the district number. How interesting.
Yes. Well, that's a county ledge day tool.
Yes, yes.
But you know, Dorothy Sticks earlier this year came out and said she was leaving the Republican caucus and joining the Democratic caucus because she did not feel she could truly advocate for her voters and the constituents that she represented in the majority caucus. So when I talk about this with people, I try to say, let's take the red and the blue out of it. Let's just take a step back. You had an individual leave the majority governing caucus of a county government that's got a $1.1 billion budget and join the minority caucus because she felt her voice and the voice of her constituents wasn't being heard. I think that's profound. I think that truly speaks to the culture and the tone that we've seen over there. Yes, it is easier to organize from a top-down organization. That's true. However, when you're starting from the bottom up and you have the number of voices and the number of opinions, is it more difficult to manage? Yes. But is that what inherently democracy is supposed to be about? Absolutely.
We're going to get to your phone calls. If you're waiting on the phone, the second half hour will be devoted to that. I wanted to ask Jamie one more question that came from the letter that you sent to your fellow Democrats. You mentioned there was sort of a turning point moment in your career that sort of it seemed to affect you in a very strong way. And I think if I'm remembering the letter, you mentioned the public defender.
Yes.
What, can you tell us about that?
Yes, that was the selection process. And I apologize because I have so many dates in my brain. I never seem to pull out the right one at the right time. But I believe it was back in around 2009. We had had a public defender that had served for about 30 years. And we were coming up to the time where we needed to select a new one. The community-based, nonpartisan, merit-based process that the community had come to a consensus on almost 30 years ago had never been codified into law. So according to the county charter, it was done strictly by a majority vote of the legislature. However, as soon as that retirement had been announced, we had a lot of advocacy groups, the Bar Association reaching out saying, we need to codify this process. We need to have, you know, a national search, merit-based, non-political process to make sure we can keep the integrity of this office. And the lack of debate and the conduct that we saw from the Republican majority and the administration at the time, not just in the failure for debate or even allowing this proposal to come up, but just it really crystallized for me at that full legislature meeting where we knew there was going to be a lot of people reaching out because they were upset with the process, not the candidates, but the process. And we had metal detectors brought up to the fourth floor. We don't have metal detectors in the county office building. We had metal detectors brought up to the fourth floor for the day of this meeting. We had members of the public weren't allowed to sit in the chambers. They were told to go out downstairs to the first floor. They were shuttled across the street. The way that the public was treated in that process from beginning to end, and not only just the public, but just, you know, obviously the legislators as well, just instead of allowing a fair debate on an important issue that affects so many in this community, but also a lot of the most vulnerable in the community, it was just completely dominated and it was completely just stamped out. And I just remember sitting back in chambers that night thinking, this isn't okay. This should not happen, but this shouldn't happen for this issue. This shouldn't happen for any issue.
It really affected you that way.
Yes, it did.
Yeah. And so that's, and that was how long ago now? I mean, just guessing. I know you said
about 6 years, I think.
Okay, 5 or 6 years ago, yeah.
Yeah.
Jamie Romeo is the Democratic Party chair in Monroe County, elevated to that position about a month ago, and got to raise some money. How are you going to raise? I mean, do you hate the money-raising part of politics, like some people say, or do you think it's just part of it? Because your party is way behind in fundraising.
I think that's a love-hate thing, because it is part of the system that we do have, and you have to fundraise. And that is definitely something that we have been jump-starting and starting to get overtime on. And it is true. I do personally believe that there is too much politics or too much money in politics. However, it is something that we are definitely starting to aggressively get onto. We have a lot of efforts going on this for the end of this year as well. But it is one of those evil necessities, because the important thing about why do you fundraise so that you have the tools to get your message directly out to voters, which is what makes it so important.
All right, let's get a short break and get your phone calls in. When we come back, if you've been waiting, you're coming on next with Jamie Romeo right here on Connections on member-supported public radio. Coming up in our second hour, chickens in the backyard. More people in Rochester, more homeowners in the suburbs are putting chicken coops in their backyards. In most cases, it is legal. We will examine what the law says, what neighbors should know, what you can get from having chickens at home, and why so many people say they're going to do it. It's next hour on Connections.
Support for your public radio station comes from our members and from the Niagara Wine Trail USA, 20 wineries starting in western Monroe County between Rochester and Niagara Falls, flanked by Lake Ontario and the Niagara Escarpment. Niagara Wine Trail, uncork a natural wonder. NiagaraWineTrail.org.
Welcome back to Connections. I'm Evan Dawson, the last woman to lead the Monroe County Democrats as the party chair on the local level. Molly Clifford, I think, 03 to 05, something like that, Jamie Romeo?
Yeah, I think that.
So it's been about a decade since a woman has been in charge in this position, and Jamie Romeo has the job now. Let's get your phone calls. And this is Frank in Rochester. Go ahead, Frank.
Why don't Monroe County Democrats play their strongest suit in this year's election, taking action on climate change? Republicans seem to have been able to hush everybody on this. I asked the Monroe County legislature, and he told me, we never talk about climate change. That's unconscionable. In a time when the Paris Climate Summit is coming up, when President Obama is starting to lead on climate change with his Clean Power Plan, when Governor Cuomo has stopped fracking, creating greater openings for renewable energy, even when Senator Schumer has called for solar energy tax credit rule changes, why are local Democrats so reluctant to talk about climate change in our local election? Because realistically, it will be our leaders who are held accountable for our region's adaptation responses. Are we going to have an election this year without talking about climate change?
Frank, thanks for the phone call. Jamie Romeo, go ahead.
I can't speak. I'm trying to think if there has been any recent announcement. I do know, at least from the county legislature's perspective, that they have actually had a whole green agenda some years back where they talked about ways that the county could look at total energy reduction, investing in renewables. Prior to the county's decision to expand the recycling program, that was actually a proposal from former county legislator Travis Hyder way back in the day. So I know it has not been a main point in a lot of our local races currently, but I don't see any reasons why it might not necessarily also be part, because there are a lot of issues that our county government is definitely facing.
I was going to ask you, is climate change a county issue?
It is difficult for the county to have a direct role in that. However, that's one of those examples that I know at least many legislators have always thought that, you know, the county government can definitely set an example and lead for the business community, lead for homeowners about taking on, you know, targets for your own energy reduction from your consumption and investing in renewables and other things like that.
What is the number one county issue on the ballot this November?
The number one issue I would probably think are obviously is taxes and the county's finances and finding. We need to get the county's budget to not be all the time this kick the can down the road, year-to-year budgeting, smoke and mirrors that we've seen where you literally have line items in the budget that are not really described, where you just say, oh, we have this miscellaneous revenues and we're going to fill the budget with $30 million or something like that. It's one of the reasons why this administration has been able to sell the same building three times to close budgets.
Tom in Pittsford is next. Go ahead, Tom.
Yes, I'm a Democrat. I'm just always been puzzled by why National Party is even a factor in local politics. How do Democratic principles relate to how local governments are managed?
Tom, it's an interesting question. Jamie Romeo, how would you answer that question? I mean, he's thinking sort of in traditional political terms, why do we need politics on the local level? What's the difference between a county Republican and a county Democrat, for example?
Well, I think that, you know, obviously all politics are local, so you do have different perspectives on the way county government should be run and communicated and things like that. But one of the ways that the national politics kind of trickles down into that are kind of the core values and the core principles that these parties share, which is, you know, the Democrats believe in trying to bolster our public education system, fighting climate change, as we've seen President Obama coming out with, you know, and some of those core principles that kind of trickle down from the top level. I think that's really how they integrate.
Tom, you want to follow up there?
No, thank you.
Okay, thanks for the phone call, Tom. You know, I think it's an interesting question. A lot of people have asked that question more on the DA's race, mm-hmm. more than anything. I mean, does party to you matter for the district attorney's office?
I think it does matter, but I think that also goes more inherently to, you know, obviously when you're building trust in candidates and trust in public officials, it comes from those inherent values or their core beliefs, which is, you know, obviously reflective of your party registration and in your party membership. But obviously there's also a lot more to say with your local party organizations and the tone and the messaging you see coming from them, too.
Back to the phones, and John in Rochester, next with Jamie Romeo, Monroe County Democratic Party Chair. Go ahead, John.
Hey, Evan. Hey, Jamie. You know, I think it was 2010, the Democrats were poised to take over the county legislature. I think if you were betting in Las Vegas, you would have bet the house on it. But the reverse happened. The Republicans even got entrenched more than what they were before the election. And recently in Buffalo, in Erie County, the Democrats, I think the Democrats outnumber Republicans as far as registered voters go, almost 2-1, maybe even 3-1. Yet, the Republicans right now in Erie County, I think, have control of the legislature. And my thought is this. I think the people have been alarmed on the turn to the left that the Democratic Party has made, especially on a national and even a statewide basis. If you look at Obama and a guy like Bill de Blasio down in New York City, I think the electorate is getting alarmed at this leftist shift. And what are your thoughts there?
Well, I'm not so sure that there's been as much of a leftist shift just nationally in our politics. I do think, especially when it comes to that 2010 race, another instance that we had in that time was also redistricting, which was not done through an independent process, but through the normal standard process. And following the redrawing of many lines, we did see some of those districts become much more harder to be competitive, which is, you know, there are some parts of this country that do have independent redistricting, which is what makes it so important. But I don't know if I necessarily agree on the movement to the left nationally. I think there's been a lot more vocal on some issues, like actually, just to go back to climate change again, but I don't necessarily consider that a leftist issue.
Okay, John, follow up there?
Well, I was just going to say, the emergence of Bill de Blasio, who actually, there's rumors that he may go for the governorship, and I think people are getting alarmed at that kind of shift. And, of course, President Obama has, number one, has some actual Marxist originations going back to his education, et cetera, and anti-Israel policies, that type of thing. I think people are alarmed. This is a conservative, or upstate is relatively conservative, and I think this has an impact on where these elections have gone.
John, thanks for the phone call. I suspect Jamie is not going to agree with your characterization, but go ahead, Jamie.
Yeah, and again, I don't necessarily agree, but I will also say that because the electorate downstate in New York City is not the electorate up here in upstate New York, and I think we do understand that, definitely. But I still wouldn't agree with the other remarks regarding the president.
Oliver writes to the program, the party in the DA's race could matter with all the emphasis on sentencing, justice, and the way the minority community has been treated. Can your guest explain how the Democrats failed to find a candidate when prosecutorial justice is such an important issue right now?
I would definitely agree that that is a very important issue right now. And unfortunately, it was one of those things that, given that we had come into this race with a strong district attorney candidate, well, not this race, apologize, let me retract that. We had come into this year with a very strong district attorney candidate,
yes.
And then we had a very short window to find a replacement for that. And obviously, when you have a strong candidate, you're looking at investing for years out. You don't have a short bench of people waiting to fill that seat because our cars were, we had our apples in that basket. We had been investing in her for quite some time. So that is a fault that we had. Yes, we were not able to field the candidate, but there will be opportunities in the future.
Talking to Jamie Romeo, the Monroe County Democratic Party chair, and if you want to call the program, it's 844-295-TALK, 844-295-8255, or 263-WXXI, 263-9994. Open invitation for Bill Reilich to join us as well. He's the party chair for the Republicans in Monroe County. And let me get back to the phones. This is Barbara. Go ahead, Barbara.
Hello, this is Barbara Bear. I'm Sandy Frank's campaign manager. How are you?
Well, very good, Barbara. How are you?
Good. I want to first say that Jamie's doing a fabulous job as the chair and is really a wonder. And I want to just talk about Sandy's race for a moment. I believe that Monroe County is ready for change. And as I walk town to town and in the city with Sandy, I think that there's an air of transformation that is occurring. And what I find is that people have the same issues across every town and in the city. And Sandy is the person who can address those issues. So while we all love inside baseball, I do think that this is a time when the public is ahead of the sort of politicians on what's going on. And what's going on is that there's been so much corruption, so much dealing, and so little focus on jobs, employment, and school, that I think the public understands that and is going to vote for Sandy.
Well, Barbara, let me ask you then, because so much of the conversation that Democrats have had that I have heard in recent months has been about how do we break out, how do we win elections, how do we win a county executive seat, how do we win a majority in the legislature. They have not been able to do it in recent years. It has been a losing streak. And Sandy Frankel has run a number of races. She won, I think, 10 terms in Brighton for...
Yeah,
for
time. And she turned Brighton around. And then,
Hold on, though, Barbara. Hold on.
So
she won 10 terms in Brighton as town supervisor, but
yeah.
She ran for lieutenant governor, did not win. She has run for county executive in the past, did not win, was not close. And what is different this time that says she's going to win?
Well, first of all, let me just say, Evan, that she ran for county executive against Maggie Brooks, who had $1 million and was a third-term incumbent. And the fact of the matter is that a lot of the scandals hadn't really bubbled, ripened, as they have now. And second of all, she lost really by 7.1 points. So in a race where not a lot of people came out, which usually happens with an incumbency. So I think she did pretty well. This time, there's no incumbent, and I think there's tremendous opportunity for change. So I think people are ready. She has name identification. She has a record. She has authenticity. She speaks for herself. Bill Reilich speaks for Cheryl DiNofo. Where is Cheryl DiNofo?
She's been on this program. She spent an hour with me on this program.
In due respect, I heard that she seemed fine. But the truth of the matter is she's never in the neighborhood. I haven't seen her once in Rochester during this terrible time. Once. I haven't seen her at a vigil. These are really important times for the whole county. The people in Sweden feel it. The people in Rochester feel it. Sandy can walk any place and talk to people. It's the time when somebody needs to change things and to be able to discuss and to be tough and to give the same message to everybody. Sandy is not going to be run by anybody. Bill Reilich is talking to Cheryl DeNoffa. Why? Why?
Barbara, before I let you go, let me get back to the subject at hand this hour, which is Jamie Romeo, the new Democratic Party chair. You're not used to that yet, Jamie, but that's the new life, the new work that she's doing. So, Barbara, you will look at Jamie's performance in November, and how will you evaluate whether the new party chair has done a good job?
Oh, she's already done a great job, so I don't need to. First of all, the public will elect Sandy, and that'll be...
You've got to win, don't you? You've got to win.
And second of all, Jamie's done a great job. It's not about Jamie and Barbara and Sandy. It's about what the public needs. That's what I'm trying to say. All this discussion about divisiveness and this and that. Walk on the streets. That's not what people are talking about. They need help, whether it's in Sweden, where they think taxes are too high, whether it's in Rochester, where it's too much violence. The people are ahead of the politicians. And Jamie's already got an A, so I don't need to evaluate Jamie.
All right, Barbara. Well, thank you. But Jamie, if you lose all these races, are you going to give yourself an A in November?
Well, obviously, if we don't win all these races in November, I'm certainly not going to give myself an A. And we are striving to have successes. You know, I haven't even mentioned we have judicial races as well for Matt Nafis for state Supreme Court, Maritza Bertuago, which I hope I said that right, for family court. We have a lot. There's a lot of activity and a lot of Democrats that are going to be on the ballot this year. And we have a task in front of us to make sure people know that.
Why do we have judges running on party lines? And why do we have judges raising money? And why do we have attorneys who appear in front of judges giving money to judges in campaigns?
Well, that all goes to a much larger system that's been around much longer than me.
I'm not blaming you.
No, I
want to know what you as a party chair think about that.
It is difficult, but it is true that judicial candidates have a much different heightened level of rules when it comes to that, because I think there's definitely they want to try to avoid any of those type of issues that we've seen, obviously, with more of the legislative and executive type of races. But I mean, that is the system that we do have in New York. And I do think that with the rules that we do have, you know, are there areas of reform that we could have? Yeah, absolutely. But we do, especially for the judicial races, give them a whole separate set of rules. Excuse me. Because we do realize that we need to make sure we can have high integrity with those particular judges.
Anne writes to us and says, Evan, you asked Jamie what she thinks Republicans have done well in winning races. You didn't ask her what she thinks Democrats have done poorly to lose all of these races. So Anne wants to know, Jamie, what do you think the Democrats have, what has been the biggest error that has caused this party to lose more than win on the county level going back a number of years now?
I don't think you can really pinpoint it to any one thing, and I also don't think that any one particular thing can be applied to all races, because all races are very different. And maybe that's one of the new perspectives we need to kind of have, because, you know, we do have 29 seats in the county legislature, but the constituents of each of those districts are very different, and the issues that they face and are dealing with day to day are different. So maybe it does come with part of our messaging or part of the way we talk to voters or the issues that we're trying to target and make sure we're educating voters on. I think there's a lot of much of the smaller things that we can be looking at, but I don't know if there is any, you know, there are no silver bullets to be able to fix these kind of problems. It's going to take a lot of hard work and getting more volunteers to come out to start talking to more voters.
We've heard from Democrats running for office this year that they want more transparency in county government, that based on the last 10, 12 years, that's one of the messages that they think will help them win in November. But we hear that in a lot of races about transparency. And I remember talking to my father years ago, and I said, I was a kid growing up thinking my dad's the greatest guy in the world, I hope a lot of kids look at their dads and feel that way. And I said, well, how come you're not in politics, Dad? And he said, well, one of two things happens when good people run for office. you get beaten down by a terrible, terrible system and you quit, or you become what you despise. And I want to know, you know, if you think there's wisdom. I'm not asking you to judge my father and his statement, but I never forgot that. And I've always been concerned about that. What do you think happens when people, when good people, when the boy and the Girl Scouts, you know, as a metaphorical term, the people with great intentions, when they get into politics, what tends to happen?
I think that it can be difficult sometimes when you, especially, you know, if you're a college student and you're getting involved and you have kind of the more macro view of politics and just on principles and on big issues. And then you get in and you kind of, you know, you see how the sausage is made. Then you're like, oh, this is the system that we have. But I think it's important in what I've always talked to young people about whenever I've talked with young Democrats or just young people looking to get more civically involved is that, you know, you raging against the machine is great, but the best way to do that is from within that machine. And you have to be able to get involved and start working with these local levels of government and with these local politics so that you can transform them from the inside. Because it can be difficult, because the easy thing to do would be to get involved and then to kind of just let bygones be bygones and let the system work the way it's always worked. It is always harder to fight against the current. But it takes teamwork, really, to do that. I always go back to my experience in the county legislature, but that's because I was there for almost 8-9 years. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unbeknownst to a lot of people, because nobody follows county legislature politics, is we used to often have parliamentary debates on the floor. When amendments or proposals or motions from the minority caucus were always shut down. And to a certain point, we felt were shut down in violation of the rules of that body. And why go through that debate? If there are no cameras in the room, if there is no public watching it, if there's no spectators, I guess, why go through it? And it's because you have to go through that exercise because you want that whole body to learn and to grow from that. And that was one thing as a minority caucus that we always did well. We worked well as a team. Obviously, our numbers shifted, but we worked well as a team because we realized that politics is a team sport. And we would go through these debates. We would go through having these conversations because it wasn't necessarily about getting the political check marks for it, but because in order for that body to grow, you had to make sure these debates were happening.
So this fall, complete this for me. Democrats will win this fall locally if what?
If voters come out. When voters turn out in this county, we see Democrats win.
Simple as that.
Mm-hmm.
So what frustrates you the most then, having seen the inside of this county government? What has been the most troubling to you, having spent so many years now in government, especially at the county level?
What is most frustrating to me personally is that, you know, the Democrats that are members of county government are often treated as outsiders rather than governing partners. Whether Democrats have a one-seat minority or a three-seat minority or a two-seat majority, let's say, in the future, they are there to be governing partners to make county government work for the entire county, not necessarily just to pass their own political proposals. And the lack of an acceptance of any Democrats as a governing partner by this Republican Party has been that can be one of those things that you get into the system and can beat you down because you want to be there to bring people's voices into either county government or legislative chambers. And when there's always somebody trying to shut that down, that can be very disheartening. But that's all the more reason why it's important to have good candidates, strong messaging, and strong people running for office to make sure that we actually can get those voices heard.
It's probably been the busiest 4 weeks of your career. What have you learned even in 4 weeks that you didn't know 4 weeks ago?
Well, I guess one of the things I learned is that I could actually do things like this and actually speak a little bit more publicly. And I think what I learned is that people are looking for opportunities for change in leadership in this in the community, in not just in our politics, but we often hear about, you know, the upcoming millennials, or I'm not even sure if I am a millennial, but
I think you probably are.
I can't remember.
Yeah, I think probably technically.
But, you know, there's young professional organizations, and we often hear about the young people in our community, and, you know, they're doing great things, but there really are so many opportunities where more people can start stepping up. And, you know, just because you are 30 or you are considered a young person doesn't necessarily mean you can't have a great role in the conversation and trying to help steer that conversation.
Well, in the mid and late 1980s, the Democratic Party had Fran Weisberg, who was around your age, wasn't she?
Absolutely.
When she took that role?
Absolutely. And actually, for the Democratic Party, it after going through some of our history, it seems like we've had this we've had almost like this cyclical process where we've had younger chairs come in. I think Bob Cook was in his 30s. I think Molly might have also been around the same age, Fran, obviously. But we've had these younger people come in every so often to kind of help reinvigorate and just bring a new perspective in.
All right, 20 seconds. Is it going to be different this fall? Are the Democrats in Monroe County going to win more than you have in recent years?
We are certainly going to work for it, and we're hopeful that voters are going to turn out, and so that way we can be.
Jamie Romeo, I hope we have a lot more conversations like this, and I know that our listeners appreciate the accessibility that this provides to them, whether they can call or communicate in various ways. So congratulations on the elevation to the post that you're in now. And thank you for taking the time to come in and talk to us and our listeners.
No problem. Thank you.
Jamie Romeo is the Democratic Party chair for Monroe County. Hope to have Bill Reilick in soon. Would really enjoy that conversation as well. And we'll have that for you when it becomes available to Bill. So, Bill, if you're listening, you're going to get an email or a phone call from me in about an hour. And we'll talk. Short break and very different second hour. Talking city chickens. Next.